This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On November 8, 2011, voters in the city of Charlottesville will go to the polls to elect three members of city council. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 26 interview with Dee Dee Smith, a Democratic candidate in the race. Ms. Smith, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow and the Daily Progress. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, and community design. As you are aware, candidates have been provided in advance only the general topics for these questions. All City Council candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
Yes, thank you.
Great. First question, please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on City Council.
Well, what I believe I bring to City Council is a long experience here in Charlottesville. I've lived here for more than 30 years, have been very active in the community. First and foremost, I bring a background in research. So one of my platforms is accountability and using good, up-to-date information. I believe I have a strong background in how to not only get information, but how to know what is good information. And I'm very comfortable with numbers and data, and I've shown that throughout my years here at Charlottesville. That's one of my reputation points is evidence-based decision-making and data. Furthermore, I bring a long experience as a director of a nonprofit, and the reason that's relevant is I have a strong background in environmental protection as well as historic protection. I was a director at the Ivy Creek Natural Area, which of course is a park in itself, and we do a lot of environmental education and stewardship, but it's also an African American heritage site, which I spearheaded in getting that designation. Have done a lot of research in the local African American history, not only for that site, but in this community. And I think that brings an interesting skill to the council. And then furthermore, I have a very strong, really 20 years of background in education in this community, not only as a volunteer, as a PTO leader, as a strong voice, but also 6 years on the school board. And one of the things that has taught me, because I was a volunteer and PTO leader at a high poverty school, was what poverty and some of the struggles that our families have here in Charlottesville, what impact that has on education as well as other social issues.
Our second question, what is your transportation agenda for the city? And a follow-up, does it require more money and how will you fund and implement it?
Well, what I am sort of seeing happen in Charlottesville is that we have a number of initiatives for transportation. Whether it's public transportation with buses, bicycling, and pedestrian, and they're all very much alive and being discussed here. And what I would like to see is a more comprehensive plan, looking at all three of those and how they network with each other. This came up recently in a meeting about the Belmont Bridge. Citizens were saying, you know, we need to be able to get our bikes to the buses. All the buses will accommodate a bike. And I thought that was a really interesting comment that, again, we need to be able, not only that we have a good bike infrastructure, but that bike infrastructure actually interfaces with other forms of alternative transportation. The other thing I think we really need to be focusing on as we look at a comprehensive plan is not only being sure that we're getting people where they want to go, but let's think about where we would like to see people go. We'd like to see people come downtown and be able to come downtown by alternative transportation, not just cars, as well as other city sort of tax bases. Like there's Barracks Road, there's Whole Foods, and some of the places that if we want our citizens to be able to patronize our city amenities, we need to be sure that they can get there.
And just to make sure, the follow-up had to do with money and how you would fund it.
I think as we look at the whole picture, we need to look at all those pools of money that we are currently have. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't know how that will play out. I do think it's a strong priority for this community. And, basically where those funds will come from, I just feel like I am not in the know enough to know where those pots of money are. I just think it is a high priority for really a lot of our citizens here in Charlottesville.
Third question. How should the city, county, and the University of Virginia work together to enhance our community's unique character and economic vitality?
Well, of course, the city, county, and UVA are, while we have boundaries on paper, that we really do work together and we are one community. And frankly, I think one of the places we're weakest is I think UVA is a grossly underutilized resource. It is a very powerful force in our community, yet it often stands alone. And where I would like to see UVA utilized more is in planning. There's a lot of expertise at UVA, not only in planning, but in social issues, in education. It's such a high quality university that I think we could better utilize the expertise there. And I think in doing so, if UVA was more integrated with UVA with the city's planning, there might be a better avenue for cooperation. Transportation is another place where UVA, City, County really need, it's not that we don't work together, but we really need to ramp up, and particularly as we look at redesigning our transportation system, which I believe there is a lot of interest in doing. We just need to be sure that everybody is at the table. In terms of economic vitality, I think UVA's, again, the expertise and the resources that are at UVA could really fuel the city looking at employment identity. And I think we'll get into that a little bit later on in another question. But again, by cooperating with UVA, I think we can really bring to the table a lot of interesting industry.
Question number four. What changes, if any, would you make to the city's comprehensive plan?
Well, then this will be an important issue for the upcoming city council, as this comprehensive plan will be reviewed and updated. And what I would really like to see is an assurance that the separate plans, the separate issues in the comprehensive plan are looked comprehensively together. I'd like to see a matrix whereby a decision, perhaps if it's in development, that part of that decision takes into account what impact does that have on education, what impact does that have on neighborhoods, what impact does that have on the environment, and be sure that we're really making all of our plans as it relates to the comprehensive plans and all of our decisions, that we look at them and in a very comprehensive way, because I think too often what we see are unintended consequences. If we're looking independently in one arena, that we don't anticipate the impact that it will have, say, on the schools. That's a sort of a one that people can relate to. So as we're reviewing, and again with the One Community Grant, where we're looking at really working closely regionally, I think that will be really important to integrate into our comprehensive plan.
Question number five. Last month, the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce reported that Charlottesville lost 3,248 jobs during the years 2000 to 2010. What specifically should City Council do to promote employment?
Well, I think, and this is where I think it would be interesting to work with UVA to promote the industry, whether we're attracting it from elsewhere or whether we're growing it ourselves, to that really, really grows and identity, and the biomedical technology is one that people often cite, and it's very real, and it's very promising, but there are other promising industries that, again, are really being incubated at UVA, whether it's, you know, energy-based or education-based, that I think it would be a good idea to really look to what kind of support those kinds of industries need and then work around that. Again, it would also take, if our citizens aren't the ones getting those jobs, it's not going to help us that much. So it, from, you know, certainly from this perspective. So we also need to be sure that we have training in our community to support those kinds of industries.
Question number six. What is your top priority for action by City Council if you are elected?
Well, I'm quite intrigued with the City Council's new priority, which I think you can sum up with mutual respect. And it's an issue that I've been very involved with over the years that I've been in Charlottesville, particularly as it relates to education. And that is issues of race, issues of poverty, and again, as that goes back to as we update the comprehensive plan, I think we need to be very aware of what the implications are for our families that struggle. And of course, we have many more now with the recession, certainly with the recession, with the economy as it is. And we need to be very cognizant of the impact that our decisions have on our on all of our families here.
Question number seven. What would you improve with respect to the city's parks and recreational facilities?
Well, I think the city's Parks and Rec Department is fantastic. I have had a lot of involvement with them over the years, having run a park, which was a city-county park. And so I'm a great admirer of City Parks and Rec. If I had to pick something, I think, and there's certainly a lot of interest and sort of a lot happening right now with trails. And the city is becoming more involved with the trail system. It's been kind of a volunteer Ravana Trails Foundation kind of effort up to now, but the city is really partnering well with Ravana Trails. And I would like to, again, and this will go back to, I think Parks and Rec can really help to integrate our transportation alternatives. And trails will be a very big part of that. We're seeing it with the Greenbelt Trail over at Riverview Park. Actually, it is being used for transportation. I find this absolutely fascinating, but people will walk to Pantops from Riverview Park along the multi-use trail. And so multi-use trails, I think, will be something that we'll see more of. And again, I would hope that those would be well thought out in terms of transportation as well as recreation.
Question number eight. Are you planning to seek a new vote by the council on the previously approved 50-year water supply plan? And how would you change the plan, if at all?
Well, I don't think it's necessary to look at this as seeking out a vote. There will be a number of issues that this council has to vote on in the next months to year, and I don't know, you know, what the timing will be on that. I am well known as opposed to the current water supply plan, so I would vote according to my well-established platform on this, which is that city interests must be protected and city ratepayers must be protected. This issue crosses not only environmental issues, there's a social justice issue here about how much can our families, again, many of whom are struggling, more of whom are struggling than used to be, how much more can we ask them to pay to support a plan that's really not going to help them? And it's those kinds of issues. There will be issues of giving up city resources. And I do not support the 50-year water supply plan as it is now. How would I change it? I would want it to be more of a restoration-based, preservation-based, and conservation-based plan than it is now. I think we absolutely need to maintain the resources we have, and that, of course, includes dredging the South Fork Ravana Reservoir. I look forward to hearing the bids that come in the next months, hopefully, from the from outside markets, the market-based approach. And how I would change it would be to try to get it to be more flexible so that we can anticipate, you know, or kind of a wait to see how a population plays out, but more importantly, how water use plays out. And so I'm more for the flexible plan. I supported not only dredging based, but the incremental increase at Ragged Mountain reservoirs in order to be able to adapt to changing times, but also so that the cost of the plan isn't front-loaded onto our current ratepayers.
Question number 9. Would you support switching from at-large seats to ward-based representation for elections to Charlottesville City Council? Why or why not?
Well, I am certainly interested in looking at this issue, and it doesn't necessarily have to be all at large and all ward-based either. I think a combination might be a more reasonable approach, but what we really need to do is ask why. Why are we interested? And the reason I am interested in exploring this is that I would like to see better representation on council, not only to represent our changing demographics, but also geographically. I'm from the south side of Charlottesville. We haven't had that much representation. And I think that, and certainly a ward-based approach would pretty directly address a geographic concern. But whether it would address a diversity concern, I think really needs to be examined. And there's data to do that. I just haven't seen it, and I'm not sure anybody has. But with the changing of our precincts with since the census, it would be an interesting time to look at it, because now we know at least we have these precincts for the next 10 years. So this would be a great opportunity. But as I see it, the other reason I think getting better representation, I think, would at least encourage more citizen involvement. If citizens think there's somebody on council who really represents them, I think it's likely they're more likely to get involved themselves.
Question number 10. If the federal lawsuit opposing the construction of the grade separated interchange for the Meadow Creek Parkway is unsuccessful, will you support completion of the parkway?
Well, I'm not sure there'll be any issue of that if once the federal lawsuit is settled, particularly if it doesn't, if it can go ahead. What my bigger concern will be making sure that the interchange and any other infrastructure associated with the parkway enables citizens to get to the park. I mean, that is one of the positives there, and also that the park is developed in a way that makes it an amenity to the community, and that we can actually make it work. The other thing I'm concerned with, and I think we will need to be very vigilant about, is the impact that the parkway might have in our neighborhoods. And that's been one of my concerns all along. I am opposed to the parkway on a number of different grounds, but I'm very concerned about cut-through traffic. If it increases traffic, which I believe it will, be a magnet for traffic, that the congestion, which we already have, it's already here before the parkway's ever built, will further exacerbate a bad situation with people just trying to get to 64, whether they're trying to get someplace by using the parkway, that they'll cut through our neighborhoods.
Question number 11. Should City Council support moving the Ravana Sewer Pump Station from its current location in Woolen Mills, even if it will cost city and county ratepayers an additional $15 million to $18 million to do so?
Well, first and foremost, I do believe we should move the sewer pump station from Riverview Park. It should never have been there. Although I think it the park sort of probably came a bit after the pump station, but it's an inappropriate place for it. It's certainly an inappropriate place to enlarge it. My bigger concerns about this issue and the way this is worded is I don't think we know what each of these options will cost. I've got a long history with working with the, or you know, certainly observing the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, and I happen to know the point at which these decisions are right now are very preliminary numbers. It looks favorable to keep it at Riverview Park, but I'm not at all convinced it is. So will we ever know that it costs really $15 to $18 million more? It's a way of framing it that I think biases the decision a bit. But I do think that when you make a mistake, sometimes you have to undo that mistake. And the pump station in that location is a mistake, and we need to fix it.
Dee Dee Smith, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow.
Thank you so much for having me.